Chapter 38. Brother. I look up as Chadan enters the pavilion, and in that moment's distraction, the needle slides clear through the meat of my thumb. Night, I hiss. It doesn't hurt, yet. Just a sensation of wrongness, an alien presence in my flesh. I haven't stuck myself in years.
Why are you still doing that?
Chadan asks. Everyone wants a spear and olive patch now. I pull the needle free, put pressure on the wound. That hurts, but it closes quickly. There are thimbles in the sewing kit, but Mother always disdained them. Sometimes the best cure is a callus, she would say. I've gained many these past months, but it seems I've lost some as well. Montidar has a surprisingly steady hand at painting shields, I say, but he can no more meet the demand than I can. No, Chadan comes to sit beside me. Why are you, Prince Olive Asu Arman, sewing? Get a woman to do it. I blink at him. Eh? Chadan shakes his head. You are Kai Sharum. This is beneath you. And Montidar, for that matter. Give Tika a handful of drachi. She'll go to the bazaar and have a woman's circle sew and paint more in one night than you could in a year, and come back with change. Relief floods through me. Designing and making patches for Chadan and myself was intimate and pleasurable. Sewing more than 100 of them is tedium, and not good use of my time, especially today. It is the first day of waning. You will have to cut short your visit with your sister, Chadan says. Grandfather has bade the Sharum Ka to convene a final war council this afternoon, and we are commanded to attend. It is a tremendous honor. Not every Kai attends war council. But like Iraven, our glory in the maze speaks for itself. Everyone in that room will be my enemy. But that makes earning a place there all the more satisfying. No matter what our disputes in the day, none of us wants demons in the city again. The preparations are complete, Chadan says. Every district in the city has active evacuation routes now, and everyone is expected below ground before sunset. Only the Sharum will be in the city tonight. We've done what we can, I agree, but a cold knot of fear twists my stomach. I know he feels it too. If there truly is a mind demon out there, we have no way to guess what fresh torment the abyss will spit forth when the sun sets. Best not to dwell on it, he tells me. Waning is about enjoying our loved ones, not worrying over sunset. I lay my hand over his. You're right. It is. Now that I have taken the veil, the Krasians consider me a man. I am barred from the harem, and must meet Mika in the public gardens instead. Chadan walks with me as I go seeking her through the maze of hedges on the outskirts of the garden of Sharik Hora. The same architects that built the killing maze that protects our city also designed this tribute to life, a labyrinth of green that creates countless secluded bowers around fountains, statues, and grand perennials. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, and Chadan laughs whenever I stop to smell a flower. Again, I think of Mother, and how she seemed to devote more of her attention to her garden than to me. I didn't appreciate growing up in those gardens until I spent a few months in the sand. A voice cuts through the bushes, and I recognize my sister, but not her girlish laughter. I pick up speed, following the sounds until we round a last hedge and see her. My sister is veiled and scarved in silk dalting blacks, looking more like the woman I have always known than the painted beauty in coloured pillow silk I saw on my last visit. But a man stands with her amid the blooms. Our eyes widen as we recognize Kai Pfizer. Mika is facing away from us, but Faiza sees our approach. A hint of smile plays at his lips as he leans in, murmuring something close to Mika's ear. My sister shrieks with laughter in response, and I know something is wrong. I've never heard her laugh like that in my entire life. She lays a hand on his chest for support, letting it linger. The abyss has frozen, I whisper. Nonsense, Chadan says. This is natural as the rain, if every bit is rare. It is good.
Good?
Mika is already married, and to a woman. I've never known her to have the slightest interest in men. And she hates the Maja. None of this makes sense. Children will settle her, Chadan says. I look at him, incredulous, but he only smiles, oblivious to his condescension. And if she stays, I'm in less danger of losing you. I am not sure if I want to kiss him or punch him, but I can do neither, with Faiza watching. There is no shame in men showing love for one another, but a relationship between Chadan and me would be more than just gossip about Pushting princes. Worse, Chadan brings up questions I am not prepared to think about. I have no intention of spending the rest of my life in Krasia, but the thought of leaving Chadan is difficult to reconcile. As always, I shove the thought aside to worry over another day. Kai Faiza gives a fine bracelet to Mika, and she literally hops with excitement as she slips it on and they both admire it. With a bow, Faiza takes his leave, walking past us to exit the bowers. My princess. Breathe, Chadan whispers as I clench my fist. I will see you at the war council. Then he too is gone. Sister. Mika glides over to me. The word sounds strange after so much time surrounded by my spear brothers. Black suits you. She touches my face, brushing her hand up under my turban to run her fingers through the soft carpet of black atop my head. Your hair is already coming back. Her hand falls to the white silk fallen loose around my neck, and Kai's veil. I am so proud of you. Her fingers drop lower, gliding gently over the spear and olive patch, and I take a step back. Enough demon shit, Mika, I snap. What in the core did I just see? Kai Faiza. Tsst, Mika hisses. Keep your voice down and embrace me, you fool girl. The sudden return to the sister I know takes away my discomfort, if not my confusion. I take her in my arms, squeezing gratefully. She smells as she always has, but something about the embrace feels different. Suddenly, it dawns on me. Every hug since I was in Swaddling was Mika holding me. Now, I am holding her. And it feels alien, like the needle in my flesh. I break the embrace. They guarded me too closely when I resisted, Mika says. But in the end, even the Dharmating see what they want to see. The Maja believe they returned to the desert before their women could be corrupted by northern heresies. To them, even a Sharum Ting is just another witless girl at heart, handed a spear when what she truly wants is a husband whose glory exceeds her own. I snort. You won't find that in Kai Faiza. His men are skilled at attacking demons from behind, but they fold like paper when the Alagai turn and fight. Mika cocks her head at me. You even sound like them. It's an impressive illusion. It's not an illusion, I say. Once again, she tilts her head, studying me. Perhaps not, but neither is it the whole of you, sister. Again, that word. Perhaps the most alien of all. Today, we escape. Mika speaks so quietly, It takes a moment for the words to register. I start when my mind catches up.
What?
Psst, Mika hisses again. Listen closely. The morning of each waning, Prince Iravan meets with his mother for precisely 2 hours, ending at high sun. After that, she retreats into her chamber of shadows until the war council.
So?
I ask. The water Belina finds waiting for her will be drugged, Mika says, as will the cloth I slip over her mouth. It is death to kill or even strike a Dharma Ting, but putting one to sleep, she shrugs. A superficial cut behind the shoulder blade will be enough to fill a tear bottle with blood without her ever noticing, enough to open the blood locks and set us free. My hand drifts over to the armlet. I'm so used to it now. It feels like a part of me. More than once, its wards have turned the teeth of an alagai. Just after high sun, meet me by the statue of Inevera in the lower hall. There is a Sharumting tunnel there that will get us into the Undercity. The Holy Undercity is designed to keep demons out, not people in. We slip out into one of the outer districts by nightfall and blend in until I, she holds up the gold bracelet Kai Pfizer gave her, can sell the generous gifts of my suitors and use the funds to purchase supplies for a trek through the desert. My mind reels. Leave? Today? Before the Maja and their Thesan thralls shelter in the Undercity? Before my spear brothers muster and hold their breath, waiting for an attack that is sure to come? Before I can see Chadan again? I can't desert them all in their hour of need. An hour ago, I thought escape all but impossible, a distant worry. Mika makes it sound so plausible, I'm forced to make a decision here and now. No. They will expect us to head for the Oasis of Dawn, Mika goes on, but we will... Eh? We're not heading anywhere, I say. I'm not ready to leave. You're not ready? Mika cuts herself off. Tss. Silly, stupid girl. You would sell yourself to the Maja for a white veil and spear. At least Iravan took a throne in exchange for his honor. I'm not the one giggling like an idiot at every man that gives me a bracelet, I growl. Tonight is waning. The Alagai nearly took the city last month. Am I to abandon my brothers? This is not your fight, Mika says. The Maja chose to abandon the Deliverous Army in Sharak Kaa, and this is their punishment. She's wrong. I feel it deep in my bones. It's all our fight. You said yourself, the demons are hunting me. Mika nods. And the Maja brought their attention here by stealing you from the safety of your mother's great wards. What difference does that make, with the sun about to set? I demand. Isn't that the first law of our people? All men are brothers in the night. But Mika shakes her head. We are not men, sister. But Mika doesn't understand. I'm still in a box to her. Selen was the only person who ever came close to getting it, and she's 1,000 miles away, safe in Hollow. How do you know what I am? I ask. How does anyone, when I don't even know myself? Mika reaches out, taking my hand. Sister, please. This is what Sharaj does. It breaks you and rebuilds you in the image the Drillmasters desire. You mustn't lose yourself. She still doesn't get it. I'm not losing anything. If anything, I'm finally finding myself. Without you reporting my every move to Mother. Without Grandmum dressing me like a doll, painting my face and calling it armor. Without Mother forcing me to become a herb-gathering witch, no matter what I want. While Alagai gathered, I was left on a pedestal. Why? Because Mother flipped a clat and decided I was a girl? Tsst! Mika hisses. Do not speak of your mother so disrespectfully. You have no idea what she's done for you. The dice. She trails off without saying more. And the omission angers me most of all. Even now, she keeps secrets, nudging me toward some future Mother finds favorable. I see Mother's condescending face illuminated in the glow of her Alagai Hora, and I want to scream. Always the dice. The words come out in a growl. No more lies. You swore to me, sister. But you hold Mother's secrets still. Mika tries to meet my stare, but she cannot hold it long, and drops her eyes. Of course you are correct, sister. But it is not just your mother's secret. When you were born, Duchess Paper cast the dice in your birthing blood. But Damaji Ting Amanvar, our eldest sister, attended her and confirmed the throw. The Damaja herself studied their findings. All of them agreed. Agreed to what? I bite off each word, their taste foul in my mouth. Mika falls into her breath, and her voice goes cold. That too many of the futures where you were presented as male were short. Short, I ask. What does that mean? It means you died before reaching adulthood, Mika says. They concluded your chances of surviving childhood were higher as a girl. My chances of survival? I can't believe what I'm hearing. My whole identity, my entire upbringing, was a hedged bet. What do my chances of survival have to do with who I am? We are what life makes us, sister, Mika says. Again, that word, like a needle stuck through the heart of me. Brother, I snap, and it feels right. Mika is taken aback for a moment, but she takes a deep breath, and immediately her tension eases. She nods. Brother, forgive me. It takes some getting used to. I'm so ready for a fight. It takes a moment for the concession to sink in. It changes nothing about our situation, Mika says. We are prisoners of the Maja and have a moral right to escape. We're not prisoners of the Maja, I say. We're prisoners of the dice. All things serve Everam's will, Mika says. The words only anger me further. I've seen no evidence Everam, or the Creator for that matter, even exist, much less speak to folk through dice of demon bone. The foretellings may come to pass, but there is nothing holy about the Alagai Hora, just Dharma Ting ambition. Did you know the Watcher who gave you the scar in my nursery wasn't trying to kill me? I ask. He was after blood for a foretelling. Mika's face hardens. That is little better. Do not weep for his death. Chavis and Belina have no right to steal blood without consent. How is that different from casting in my birth blood? I ask. I didn't consent to that either. Mika looks aghast. Because one was done by your enemies and one by your mother. There's a sour taste in my mouth. Have Mother's foretellings served me better? It doesn't matter if what Belina saw was true. The Maja are losing ground to the Alagai, and without me, it will only worsen. You cannot possibly know that, Mika says. If you leave Desert Spear, the demons may turn their attention elsewhere. I shake my head, reciting Belina's prophecy. The storms will end when the heir of Hollow joins blood with the Maja, and the princess stands in the eye. That could mean many things, Mika says. I nod. Even Belina did not fully understand, because she and Chavis believed me a girl when they cast the dice. Why does that matter? Mika asks. It's not princess. It's princes, I say. Chadan and I command the prince's unit, and it is waning. I am meant to be here, sister. If such a thing exists, it is in Evora. Princes. Mika lifts her jaw, like she finally understands. So, this is about Chadan. I glare at her. What about him? Harem gossip has the two of you inseparable. She pokes a finger into the spear and olive patch on my breast. Is that what this means? Has he put his spear into you? I smack her away. Of course not. How dare you? I raise a hand as if to strike her, and she eyes it with a single raised brow. Even now, after months of training and fighting in the maze, I do not know if I am anything close to a match for my sister. I lower my hand, but it does little to diffuse my sudden anger. He is Marja, Mika says. He cannot be trusted. Nor can your judgment, I snap, when you lay it equally upon 30,000 people, to justify walking away when they have demons at the walls. Chadan is my Ajinpal. I trust him with my life. What am I then? Mika demands. Did we not bleed together in the night, months before your Marja rebirth? Have you forgotten that you would be dead on Alagai Talons if not for me? No, I say, but I might not have been in danger in the first place if you hadn't lied to me for my entire life. If you'd prepared me for the night as you obeyed. Instead, I was sent to Herb Law and given a sewing kit. I straighten my back. You and Mother were so fixated on protecting me, you never gave me the means to protect myself. The Marja have. They care nothing for you, Mika says. They came back for me, I snap. Chadan came back. Last waning, the demons recognized me. They came for me as one, every demon on the streets. But Chadan... Mika tilts her head. You love him. What? Don't be ridiculous. What is ridiculous? Mika asks. I have seen Prince Chadan. He is Marja, but there is no denying he is beautiful. I hope he is who you think he is. I hope he is what you think he is. But in the end, the Marja will do what is best for the Marja. You are still a prisoner here. We both are. I was, I say, but no longer. I will not abandon my spear brother as storms gather. I have seen Marja honor, and it is not what you told me. Why should I believe you now? Mika shrugs. If you think me wrong, ask Belina to unlock your armlet. I scowl. She's right, of course, but deliberately missing the point. It's not yet high sun. I am allowed hours yet with my sister, but I've had enough for one day. I turn to go. Mika lays a hand on my arm. Olive, if you want to go home, sister, then go. I pull myself free and start walking. I don't need you to rescue me anymore. For 3 nights, we patrol the walls and city, ready for the storm. But all is quiet this waning. Not even the night's usual scattering of demons to lure into the maze. The idle time is not what I need. I would rather be holding back the jaws and talons of a pack of demons than wallowing in my own anguish. I cannot turn my back on my spear brothers, on Chadan. But is turning my back on Mika any better? Regardless of how I feel about her secrets, I cannot deny she has devoted her life to protecting me. And in return, I am leaving her stranded. I know her well enough to understand she will never leave without me. What is it? Chadan asks for the 1,000th time. He knows something is bothering me, but he cannot discern what. I deflect the question. Where are they? Chadan casts his gaze out into the night and sighs. Perhaps the storm is past. Perhaps we broke them when their assault failed last month. I can see in his eyes he doesn't believe that any more than I do. There is no fighting in the city, yet I feel no safer. Something is still in the air, a tension I cannot name, infecting everyone. The entire unit shifts its feet uneasily. This isn't safety. It is the silence before the strike.